Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you,
Lord. The people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. After all the people had been baptized, and Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. The Gospel of the Lord. Time available to us this morning, we'll have a little look at baptism that, in a way that you might find interesting. So, first of all, we might say that John the Baptist and John and Jesus did not invent baptism. It was an offbeat ritual that John was performing down at the River Jordan, the people that came to him, he was performing this little practice. But if we go back a little bit before that time, and in the Jewish religion, there was a place, a pool called Mikveh, M-I-K-V-E-H, and that was a word that meant a collection of water. And it was customary among the Jews, and it was similar in some ways to our reconciliation or to our confession. And it was where the Jews went to be cleansed and washed of any sins or impurities. And so, interesting point is that all the male Jews went along to this pool on the eve of the Sabbath to be washed and cleansed of their sins or whatever they need cleansing. And the women, they went once a month. So what does that say? The men were much worse than the women. They needed a lot more cleansing, and that ceremony or practice is still done today among the Orthodox Jews. So then, moving on to John's baptism and Jesus, as you know, didn't need to be baptized, but the word used in the Gospel and in the ancient scriptures is he submitted to the baptism of John, meaning that he was doing that to give us an example. And so after that, that practice became our initiation ceremony into the church or into Christianity. Hopefully I'm making this clear. And another interesting point is that Jesus was 30 years old when he was baptized. And baptism has always been looked upon as an adult sacrament, where you make a decision for the Lord. And so back in the 4th century, towards the end of 300 and something, began the practice of baptizing little babies. Now, when you look at that, they say a mature person is somebody who can criticize themselves, or a mature institution is somebody who can is an institution that can criticize itself. And maybe we need to look at the whole idea again of baptism. And I remember, I don't remember, but I know what happened. I've no idea. When I was born all those years ago, it was a practice in the nursing home or the maternity home where I was born that whatever day of the week you were born, on a Wednesday morning, a couple of the nurses took you all down to the local church and you were baptized. Now, your godparents, they had agreed beforehand, so there was nobody there, no parents, no godparents, no family, just you and a priest and two nurses. And that's how I was baptized. Did I have any say in that? None. I was just taken down and poured water over my head. I probably screamed, and then I was taken back. So now he's been done. Why did that happen? Well, you remember the days when we believed in limbo? And, just picture that for a moment. Picture a woman whose baby dies at birth, or who has a stillborn baby. Just imagine, and maybe some of you here have gone through that experience, the suffering and the pain. And then we come along, and to add to that pain and suffering, we say, oh, by the way, your baby will never get to heaven because it hasn't been baptized, or she hasn't been baptized. She will never see God. How cruel was that? How cruel that we add more pain to what that woman is going through. How cruel that was. And what a terrible idea we had of God, that God could be that cruel. How could anybody believe in a loving God and think that? I certainly couldn't. That's not the God that I believe in, most certainly. No. Now, looking again at the whole idea of baptizing babies, I don't know, it's good and bad, probably more bad than good, because most of us here, we were taken along and we were baptized as babies and became Catholic. Why? Because our parents were Catholic, or our parents were French or German, because in the 4th century, everybody who was Christian was a Catholic. Everybody. And so if you're born in Spain or France or Italy, or if you were born probably in South America, well, I don't know about South America yet, but we were all automatically presumed to be Catholic. And most of us, we were baptized as Catholic, and then our parents hopefully took us to Mass, and we went along that way, and we went, went along for the ride, or we were on cruise control, and we never made So amazing are the people who have never made a decision for Jesus, you know, a commitment to Jesus. They've gone along, I'm a Catholic, and that's it. And that means I go to church on a Sunday, and that's it. And the other amazing thing is, have you ever noticed Catholics are very, very reluctant to talk about their faith? You meet people who are non-Catholic, maybe evangelicals or Protestant, and they have no trouble in talking about their faith and their commitment to the Lord Jesus. You find that. And when some tragedy happens and maybe they're interviewed on the television, they'll speak about forgiveness and about, well, God is good and we trust in the Lord and so on. And what happened? How did you feel? Well, I prayed about it. We're almost ashamed. A lot of us have made no real commitment, never made a decision about our relationship with the Lord. Talking about relationships for a moment, there was an old man called John, and he was dying, and he was lying there in his bed, and his wife for many, many years was sitting beside him, and John kind of suddenly turned towards her, and he said to her, "Agnes," he said, "you've always been by my side, always been by my side." And she said, "Yes, dear, I have. I've always been here for you." And he said, "Agnes, you know, when I got a letter from the government saying that I was being drafted into the army and I had to go and fight in the war, you were there by my side." And she was smiling and her eyes were fluttering. "Yes, dear." And he said, "You remember when our house burned down and we lost everything? You, Agnes, were there by my side. And when I had that bad car accident and the car was a total wreck and I was badly injured, you were there by my side. And when my business went bankrupt and I lost every cent I had, you were there by my side." She said, "Yes, dear, I've always been here for you." Then he paused and he turned to her and he said, "Agnes, you know something? You've never been but bad luck in my life." Well, that's bad. Bad. Now, getting back to finish off for a moment. A commitment. So I want you to think about that. Go back over your life. See where you are. See where you are now at this time. And ask yourself, how much does God matter in my life? What's my normal week like? My normal Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and so like? How much of a part does Jesus play in my life? That's a serious question. Because for a lot of people, when they walk out of church on a Sunday, that's it for the rest of the week, and they go back to their activities and their business or whatever else they do. And God plays very, very little part in their lives. And that's sad. And that's sad. You know, so I want you to think about that. It's a big decision in our life. If you were put to the test and somebody asked you and you were going to be killed for admitting it and said to you, "Are you for Jesus or not?" What would you do? Will you take the easy way out? Or would you say, yes, I'm for the Lord? He asks us. See, he came, and John said about Jesus, I have baptized you with water, but Jesus will baptize you with water and fire. So have you got any fire in you when it comes to Jesus? Fire. Enthusiasm. That's what the Lord is asking us. And that's how I interpret the baptism of Jesus. And God is more for you than you are for God. To each one of us, he says, you too are my beloved daughter, my beloved son. I love you way beyond your wildest imaginations. Are you for me? So let's stand now and pray.